Shame. 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 Shame, shame, shame. Shame on you. Shame, shame, shame. Shame on you.
All right, hello, you're listening to Rock and or Roll, and this is the second week of No Shamber. This is, what, episode 10, volume 10 of No Shame. And joining me today for this episode from the CGCM podcast, Canadian Geeks Chat Metal, is that what that stands for?
That is what it stands for.
Yeah,
so you did exactly that with no problems.
And then there's a lower
name. Okay,
there's
but wait, a lowercase. We can't even say our own name when we're recording our own episodes now.
There's a lowercase WB that you stick in there too sometimes.
Yeah,
right?
That's with beers.
Yeah,
because we're drinking
our sponsor's
beer.
Oh right, right.
Heavy metal from Rhythm and Bruise.
We have a beer sponsor. It's awesome.
So I've got Wally Norton. Hey Wally,
how's it going?
And Rich Dillon. Hey Rich.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Hey, and you know, I've known you guys for years now, especially Wally.
Yeah.
When I started writing for the Despicable Geek website, you were like the editor.
Yeah.
At the time, you hired me.
I did.
Yeah. Now
I
he
did.
Doesn't even write.
Yeah.
What's that?
Neither
now
do
he,
I.
Now he doesn't even write. You've disappeared.
Who's got time for that?
I know. Yeah. I remember there was just like a post on the Despicable Geek Facebook page asking if anybody wanted to write for the website, and I was just like,
yep,
I'd do it, and then just went from there. I had always wanted to do a podcast, but I just didn't know how, you know. And so when that opportunity to write for the website came up, I was like, that'll be fun. But then I figured out I could actually do the podcast, and then I was like, they probably think I started writing for the website just like to get my foot in the door for the podcast.
No, you were with us for you were with us for quite a while before you started the own podcast, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure how long it was. But it was like,
I
didn't really know how to do a podcast. And then when I figured out I could use GarageBand and I figured out that I could actually just do it, like I started out with Podomatic. It was like,
right,
all of a sudden I realized, wow, I really, you know, this isn't that hard, you know, and then I just started it. But
it was
great to have like that, have like the Despicable Geek relationship. I had a relationship with Despicable Geek and with Podkist, and, you know, that definitely helped getting started for sure, though.
I mean, like in concept, it's pretty simple to do a podcast, but man, does it take a lot of work? I don't think a lot of listeners realize that kind of thing with the commitment, just not only to editing, but getting together to record. If you got a co-host or something like that, it takes a while to get that sorted. I know Wally and I, we always wanted to do our own from the first time that Chris and Aaron asked us to host the Decibel Geek, and that was, what, 6 years ago?
Yeah.
And we only just recently started it. It was never the right time. Finally, just have to make it the right time, or you're never going to do it.
Yeah, but then once you start, you're doing it, you know? It's the hardest thing is just to, you know, get it going. But
yeah, it took us a lot longer to get going.
Yeah, yeah.
Taking the jump,
6 years.
Yeah. And now it takes us forever to get an episode out because we spend too much time editing it.
So, Rich, do you still do the Despicable Geek website too?
Yeah, actually, I'm the website editor.
Yeah,
now.
I thought so. I didn't know if you were still doing it, but yeah,
I've been running the whole thing. We got over 40 contributors worldwide now.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So just keep putting the word out there every time. You know, it's all volunteer basis, so some people, you know, they write for a while, and then, you know, life gets busy, and they can't do it, so I just put a call out, get some new writers going on, We got our YouTube guy now is involved. We got several photographers on board. So we got about 40 contributors. And the site's doing better than ever, more views than ever. So it's more people learning about some new rock and roll, I guess.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, and of course, Cobras and Fire, they came out of the writing for the website too.
Yeah, it's like Decibel Geek has spawned like several children podcasts.
Yeah. Yeah, the last thing I did for the website I loved it was the 6 Degrees of Kiss for Christmas in July.
I remember
every
that.
Every day in July. That was great.
Yeah, I remember that. That was probably 3 years ago now, I think.
Yeah,
right?
I haven't done anything since
then.
Yeah,
Both the Cobras and Fire guys still write for the website as well. And
right.
Hey, anytime you want to get back in there and write something, more than welcome. You used to do used to have a segment that you did. It was a regular segment. What was it? Now Hear This?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Quite a few bands you introduced me to through that in the early years there.
Yeah, I've gone back to some of my Decibel Geek articles for research for the podcast, too. You know, it comes in handy.
As long as your research was good in the first place, it's okay to go back to
it. Yeah, right. So I love the way you guys met. Hearing that on your podcast really cracked me up that Wally, what was it? You were trying to take a picture of the Helix marquee and this other guy was getting in your way, basically, because he was taking a picture of it too, right?
That is the short story of exactly how it came to be.
That's hilarious.
We're just two lone guys each wanting to go see Helix and didn't know anybody else there. Let's take a picture of the marquee. What's this guy doing?
But it got so crazy when we went back. You know, he asked me, he had never been to that area of the city at the time, and asked me.
Oh, I was terrified.
And you were asking me where to get something to eat because you were looking to have dinner. And we went
inside because
they served dinner at the Rock
Pile.
Because
it was like a 3-hour bus trip for me to get there, right?
And then, you know, the music conversation just started based on the Helix. And it was like, you know, 2.5 hours of, oh my God, you got that album? Oh my God, you have that album? It was.
Then the birthday thing just put it over the top. Yeah. We realized we are the same person.
Right. Yeah,
that's,
I remember.
The world, I'm just better looking.
I remember, Rich, I remember you talking about how it sounded like you were Amish or something. You were venturing to the big city. It was, and then, but now I know, okay. Like, I see how, you know, you go all over the world to go to these festivals and everything now, and the way you were talking about how it was such a big deal just to go into the city, it was pretty funny.
It was at that time. I was absolutely terrified when I went to that Helix show.
Yeah.
I was a little country boy, right? I'd never been to the city before on my own to see a concert, that kind of stuff. And you're right. Now it's opened up by starting to identify with my music again. For a long period, I didn't listen to music, and it's opened up a whole new world. And you're right. I'm all over the world, wherever I can go to see a band that maybe I won't see here in North America, or go to a festival or something like that. And now I've got worldwide friends that ask me every year, it's like, come here. I'm like, I've only got so much vacation time and so much money, but I love it. It's opened that world to me. So
before we get into our list, like, what, you guys want to describe your show a little bit to the people that are listening? Like, just tell them where to check it out, or, you know, pitch yourselves.
Okay, Wally, I'm going to leave that to you because I'm going to say something dumb otherwise, probably.
Well, we are the CGCM podcast, as you have already enlightened your listeners. You know, simple concept. The two of us getting together to drink massive amounts of beer and talk music, which is, you know, a usual Friday pastime for the two of us. And we decided to actually start recording it. And our Rhythm and Brews beer sponsor got on board to make life even easier for us. So, we just basically drink massive quantities of beer and argue about music.
There's a lot of swearing, a lot of insulting each other. There's a lot of random laughter in the middle of episodes. There's a lot of talk about male genitalia, you know, dumb stuff like that. It's usually pretty good laugh. You know what? I enjoy listening to us. I'm probably the only one that does.
And we do have some guests lined up for future episodes. So, you know, stay tuned for that. We've got, we can't mention any names yet, but we've got some very cool guests lined up.
But you can always, you know, anyone that is listening out there that's interested in the CGCM podcast, you can check us out on Facebook, SoundCloud, Spreaker, blah, 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 blah. iTunes, we're on, whatever. While we take care of that stuff.
That's right.
Yeah, just search CGCM probably and it'll come up, I suspect.
Yeah.
All right. So, you guys were saying you were going to fight over who was going to start.
Well, we want you to choose because, you know, we haven't seen each other's lists or anything here. So this could either turn out to be really funny or entertaining or terribly bad.
Let's see what happens.
All right. Yeah. So as No Shame works, we all three of us have a list of 10 embarrassing songs to admit that we like. And I guess let's just do alphabetical. And since, Rich, both of your names are ahead of Wally in the alphabet, I guess you can start.
Faster.
Ah, so I'm better.
Okay, well, I kind of, you know, I'm not really embarrassed about any of the music on my list, to be honest with you.
Right, no, yeah, that's...
But I could see how some people might look at me and go, what?
Yeah.
Right, with some of these kind of things. But, I kind of grouped them together a little bit, so to speak. Like for each one, there's probably three or four artists that could kind of fall into it. So I used to watch a lot of television when I was younger. It was a big thing, a big part of my life, and I know that's probably not good to say. So I used to like a lot of TV theme songs because I used to like the show. So things like Doctor Who or Starsky and Hutch or like those kind of shows, I used to love those kind of songs. But one of my favorite shows of all time, and I love the theme song to it, and I still do, and I still watch this show regularly because I have all the seasons on DVD, is WKRP in Cincinnati.
Baby, if you've ever wondered whatever became of me, I'm living on the air in Cincinnati. Cincinnati, WKRP.
So I don't know if that's embarrassing that I like that song or not.
The theme song.
The theme song to WKRP in Cincinnati. It's kind of an 80s really thrown together. I don't want to insult the artist that made it, but it's not really a good song. But every time I hear it, it makes me happy.
Yeah, that's a real jingle sounding song.
Yeah, well, it is an actual song. The artist that recorded the jingle put out an album in late 70s, early 80s, where there's a full version of that song on there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Who is the artist?
I believe it was written by Tom Wells, but recorded by Steve Carlisle.
Steve Carlisle.
Nice.
And he's got a record with
Look
that
at my knowledge on
WWE.
I have watched those DVDs over and over and over and over. So there we go.
Take good care of you, I've got to go.
All right, Wally, you want to hit us with your first pick?
Okay, I'll preface this. How old are you, BJ?
I'm 43.
43. Okay.
Are you asking for a date or something?
No.
I match it up here. What's going on?
Got to preface my story here. First of all, my list. I don't know. I didn't mention this to the Meister, but you realize being a Canadian podcast, we have to follow CRTC regulations, and 30% of your list has to be Canadian.
No, apparently I got to work.
The reason I asked your age, I don't know what it was like for you back in high school.
I have three Canadian songs.
Oh, perfect.
That's 30%. I'm all right.
We're good. So I don't know how it was with you back in high school, but for me, I'm a little bit older than both of you guys. Music was, you know, kind of the defining, you know, clique you were in.
For sure, yeah.
And you know, I look at my daughter and her friends, and they like everything and are proud of liking everything. But, you know, back in high school, if you were a metalhead, you didn't admit to liking a lot of some of these songs on my list. So I'm going back to my first track is a Canadian band, Bare Naked Ladies. Grade 9 is the lyrics to that song. I don't know if you've heard it, is exactly my high school life. So there's a line in that, you know, get something about trying out for the football team. I guess I shouldn't tell them that I like Duran Duran. That was high school.
Found my locker and I found my glasses. I lost my lunch and I broke my glasses. That guy is huge. That girl is wailing. First day of school and I'm already.
I don't know if you ever heard the story that band was banned from playing a New Year's Eve show in Toronto just because the mayor disagreed with their name.
Bare Naked
Ladies. Yeah.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Since that was like the whole pretty, point of the know, name, or, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, you look like a real idiot if you're getting upset about a band that tongue-in-cheek calls themselves Bare Naked Ladies.
Exactly. Yeah, that was quite funny. And I mean, they were pretty ominous and, crazy band.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah, but didn't the guy get arrested for heroin and stuff like that afterwards? So maybe they were a little crazy. You don't know what they were doing in dressing rooms, man.
All right,
man, your turn.
Yeah, okay, so let's see. The first song on my list, actually, we were just watching this movie on Halloween. The movie's called Little Shop of Horrors. And,
sure.
I've got
Rick Moranis. This,
yeah, Rick Moranis singing Suddenly Seymour. I just love it.
That's a great song, dude.
Yeah. Nice.
Great dude.
I love Rick Moranis so much, and him doing that, he's not a great singer, but there's a lot of charm and character to his voice.
Yeah.
So
he doesn't do movies anymore, eh?
No,
he's stopped acting.
I think what happened is his wife died and he kind of raised the kids, I think is kind of what happened.
His wife? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Here to provide you sweet understanding. Seymour's your friend.
Nobody ever treated me kindly. Daddy left early. Mama was poor. I meet a man and I follow him blindly. He'd snap his fingers me. I'd say sure. Suddenly, Seymour is standing beside me. You don't give me your eyes. You don't understand. Suddenly, Seymour is here to provide me sweet understanding.
Till forever. Tell me the bad times are clean washed away.
Please understand that it's still strange and frightening for losers like I've been. It's so hard to say.
I always think of the Ghostbuster scene where he turns into the dog.
Yeah. You shall perish in flames. So great. Yeah, the part where he runs up, I think it's the Tavern on the Green restaurant, he just is like slammed against the window, and then the dog...
Oh, he's knocking on the window?
Yeah, that's when the dog's chasing restaurant. Him. Yeah.
Are you the gatekeeper?
That whole SCTV cast, man. There's some great...
I know, yeah. I used to stay up and watch SCTV when it came on after Saturday Night Live. Like when I was 5 years old, my dad would let me stay up and watch it, so it totally shaped me my whole life, you know? Yeah.
Such a cast.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
All right, so I guess my number 9 pick then. Once again, I'm not sure how embarrassing it is, but when I was younger, I used to raid my parents' music collection.
Oh, I was worried where you're going there.
Well, hey. We'll get to another story later where I raided something else.
Oh, no.
We'll get there. Don't rush it, man. And I used to listen to a lot of their records, and I was a big fan of this one record they had, and it was by a band called The Monkees. And then they introduced me to the TV show when it was on reruns. And I love that show. It's pretty campy, bad humor. But when I was a kid, it was one of the greatest things in the world. But I used to love this album. The album's called More of the Monkees. So I don't know. It's their second, third, fourth. Something indicates there was one previous to it because it's called More of the Monkees. One of the weirdest songs on it was Your Auntie Griselda. I used to put that song on and I'd dance around the living room. And when it was over, I'd go back to the record player and I'd start it again until my mother finally unplugged the thing because she had enough of it. But there we are, the Monkees. Big fan of the Monkees.
Not familiar with that track.
Yeah, I don't know that song off the top of my head either.
We should probably dedicate this to Ken Mills.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, Ken, he does a podcast about the Monkees.
Yeah.
It's so weird. The Monkees have a fan base almost like the Kiss fan base. They have like a rabid fan base.
They were, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and both my grandmother and my mother used to listen to them, and that's where, you know, it kind of stemmed from for me.
But. Well, I enjoyed the television show that you're talking about.
It was pure cheese.
When I was in high school, Spinal Tap came to a local theater, and my friends and I went down to see Spinal Tap, and it was a double feature with Head, which was the Monkees movie.
Right.
I don't know if you've ever seen that.
The Monkees had a movie?
Oh, my gosh. Now, it had. If you like the television show, it was just like a 2-hour acid trip. It was the most bizarre, strange movie I've ever seen in my life. Had nothing to do with the TV show.
No. Yes. The TV show was fun when you were a kid, right? Yeah. You know, they always got into trouble, and there was the tall guy with the toque, and he was like the serious guy, and then there was Davey, who all the girls liked, and, you know.
Yeah, it was fun.
It was just a fun show when I was a kid, and I used to play that album a lot. Your Auntie Griselda. I remember I used to love it because the name Griselda. I used to dance around the living room.
Oh no, don't look at me like Auntie Griselda. It takes much more to be someone of your own. You've got to make it free from Auntie Griselda. Just like her, you'll have to make it alone. I know she's having a fit. She doesn't like me a bit. No bird of grace ever lit on Auntie Griselda. Auntie Griselda. Auntie Griselda.
All right. Well, you know, as that line in the Bare Naked Ladies song went, I guess I shouldn't tell them that I like Duran Duran. My next pick is a Duran Duran tune.
Nice
definitely
segue.
Definitely would have had my metal card taken away in high school for that. Actually, I had a good buddy of mine, Jerry. He was the new wave guy and tried relentlessly to make me admit to liking Duran Duran all through high school. And it never worked through high school, but I can appreciate them now. I'm going to go with Girls on Film. Not sure. I assume it's probably been covered, but I love that tune.
I'm pretty sure that Aaron Camaro picked that one.
Uh-oh, here we go.
Duran Duran are another band that have, there's still, so many people are huge fans of Duran Duran. I'm always surprised, both the Monkees and Duran Duran, I'm surprised by how many people, like in the podcast community and stuff, love those bands where, you know, I think they're both all right, but it's just weird that, I mean, they really love, a lot of people really love Duran Duran. And I think there's a lot of similar bands that were way better in my opinion, but.
But these people that love Duran Duran so much, is it just like a lot of old, like older mothers? Like they loved them when they were younger, and now it's like they're still holding on to it? Or is it like people like really love them?
Yeah, no, everybody likes them. It seems like, yeah.
I mean, I like Duran Duran.
You know, it's like you guys have been saying, when we were younger, you weren't allowed to like admit that you liked it, but everybody secretly did anyways.
I wasn't allowed to admit that I liked music. So
in my living room with my parents, I wasn't allowed to admit I liked music.
In their defense, though, I mean, Duran Duran, they were marketed like a boy band.
Right.
But they were a band.
Yeah, they were a real band, totally. Yeah.
Qualified musicians and wrote their own stuff. And
yeah. Man, but they had the merchandise, too. They had, like, Duran Duran watches.
Oh, absolutely.
And all that
kind of
stuff. They were, like, Kiss with the merchandise.
They rode the boy band teeny girl market, that's for sure.
But oh, yeah, I guess they were hung like the
with
wolf.
Them, it was like MTV fell into their lap, and then all of a sudden they had this, like, market, you know. Well, my next pick is, you know, I don't know if this is embarrassing or not. Like, you know, this is my 10th list, so I'm starting to
you're getting weak.
Yeah. But to me, I think maybe it's embarrassing how much I like this. Like, I think this is such a brilliant, just brilliant song. The song Heaven by Bryan Adams from Reckless. Oh.
Make some Canadian content.
He's keeping the CRTC happy. You see that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm a big Bryan Adams fan, but this song, you know, this song, I was thinking about how Heaven is kind of like a cliche or like a generic sounding song now, but that's because it kind of set the template that so many songs follow.
You're right, yeah.
But what a song.
Was that Reckless?
Yeah, Reckless 84.
And this is, so it's before Waking Up the Neighbors, yeah.
Yeah.
I love Waking Up the Neighbors, but...
A lot of people bash on that album, too, but it's great. I think it's a pretty good album.
Yeah. I saw him live. He was fantastic. Fantastic.
But, you know, Heaven was the number one single in the U.S., so it was huge here, and it was all over MTV, but I think it's an amazing song. I really love it, so...
I don't think it reached number one for us up here, did it, Wally? Do you know? I don't think it was that. I mean, it was a decent song up here, but I don't think it was huge like that.
Oh, it was huge.
Was it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, I mean, that pretty much every single on that album, he was
yeah,
on top of the
world. As big as Reckless was here, it probably was even bigger here than in Canada, I would think, because it could really have been much bigger. Yeah.
Okay, so far I've played a TV theme and like a 60s pop song. Where are we going to go from there? Let's go to a country song.
Hey, you always give me flack for
my country fan. Country music. Oh,
I'm a big country fan. So
when I was younger, well, there are some country songs that I can tolerate, and I'll tell you why. When I was younger, we used to go to the bar when I was in my 20s, and we every night. And you didn't call anybody. There was probably a group of 15 or so of us. You didn't call anybody. You just knew that Mondays you went here, Tuesdays you went there, Wednesdays you went there, whatever. So you just show up at the bar. And Wednesdays, we used to go to this one bar, and they had country line dancing. So all the girls would go onto the dance floor, and they would do the country line dancing lessons. You know, there was an instructor there that taught everybody. And the guys would sit around, and we'd watch hockey on TV and just drink beer and eat chicken wings and get fat and be stupid. And one day I was going to the bathroom, and one of the girls dragged me onto the dance floor for the country line dance. I'm like, I hate this shit. What am I doing on? Look around, and there's got to be 15, maybe 20 people on that dance floor learning country line dancing in succession with the instructor. Not one is a dude. All of a sudden, I'm learning country line dancing. So all of a sudden, the guys at the table are making fun of me. Every week I want to go, and I'm country line dancing. Like, what's wrong with you? Are you? I don't know. Do I have to be politically correct here on your podcast? Are you gay? What are you doing up there? Country line dancing, whatever? I'm like, no, dude, this girl's right. So all of a sudden, these girls are there greeting me every week. They're saying hi to me. And the other guys are like, how do you know all these girls? What's going on? Dude, get up there and country line dance. So I got used to some of the songs. But there's a recent country song that I heard, Against My Will. Against My Will, I was forced to listen to a country song, and it stuck in my head. I've heard it several times since. I've actually gone to YouTube, and I've played it several times on purpose, because I think it is absolutely top-of-the-line, fitting song with its lyrical content, and it's got a catchy beat, too. And it's called Stronger Beer. And Wally Norton made me listen to it on one of our early podcasts. It talks about how Canadian beer is so much stronger than American beer. I'm sorry, but it's fitting for this podcast. Who sings that?
Tim Hicks.
Yeah, that's it. Tim Hicks. Have you heard that one at all?
I don't think so. So it's a Canadian country artist?
It's a Canadian country artist, and it's called Stronger Beer, and he talks about how the beer up here is much stronger than the beer you have down there.
It contrasts the Canadian culture versus the American culture more than just beer, actually.
But
it's quite humorous.
As much as I profess that I hate country music and everything, there we are. I'm just admitting to the world that I do like a country song, and I used a country line dance.
Smartest, you eat M&M's, and you think all our money looks pretend. Yeah, we got Bryan Adams, hey, you got Bruce Springsteen, but we can't drink in bars when we're just 19. You got Brad Pitt, but we got Keanu Reeves, but we got the best lake fishing, you best believe. Yeah, you make fun of us cause we spell color with a U. You think you're all that, Mr. Red, White, and Blue. We say hey, you say y'all. Yeah, we both got pro football. Except we got big balls and a longer field. We say Z, you say Z. Sure, we watch all your TV. You got a stronger. Dunkin' Donuts, we got Timmy's, we got more land, but bro, you got more cities. You sure love the NFL, MLB, and the NBA, but to the great white north, hockey is the only game. Hey, we say A, you say y'all, yeah, we both got pro football, except we got big balls and a long watch on your TV. You got a stronger army down there, but men up here, we got stronger beer. So here's to you, my southern neighbor, all kidding aside. It takes me 6 beers to get pissed drunk, but for you, it takes 9, sucker.
All right. Well, my next pick, it may shock a few people, but we're going back to before I discovered heavy metal, back around 82. I was about 12 years old and got my first Sony Walkman, which I don't even think was Sony. It was some off-brand knockoff.
Oh, I was going to say, was it that big yellow one that looked like it was waterproof, but it wasn't really waterproof?
That was my second one.
A couple of years ago, I went to a party. I met a guy who was rocking the Sony Walkman cassette tapes. The yellow thing, yeah. He was carrying around like a bag of cassette tapes, and he was using his Walkman. Like, dude, that was awesome. I offered him $50. He would not sell it.
So one of the first cassettes that I don't know whether I purchased it or borrowed it or whatever, but I'm going with Culture Club.
funny because I thought about putting Boy George on my list too.
I will defend him. That guy can sing, man.
That Kermit Chameleon song, my parents hated it. So they hated it right away. I liked it when it came out, right?
Well, I went with Church of the Poison Mind. And that guy's got a set of pipes. I will defend that and can sing a pop tune, that's for sure.
Yeah, I picked Karma Chameleon on some episode.
Oh, see, there you go. That's what I would have picked. That's the only one I really.
Yeah. All right, well, my next pick is this, again, I don't know if this is embarrassing or not, but it's such a corny like song that's almost like children's music, which is kind of how I thought it kind of fit on the list. It's the title track of his 1976 album, Summertime Dream by Gordon Lightfoot. This is probably my favorite Gordon Lightfoot song, actually.
What? I only know one Gordon Lightfoot song, and that's not it.
And we're Canadian.
Yeah.
You guys don't know Summertime Dream.
That's the only one I know. I had to study it in school.
The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald? That's on the same album.
Yeah, I had to study that song in school. We had to study the poem.
Yeah. Okay, before you get to the song.
He's stumping us on Canadian music. This is not good, man.
I don't know that song.
Step it up.
You don't know Summertime Dream?
No,
not at all.
I say not by the title.
I were to hear it, yeah.
A while since I've heard some Gordon Lightfoot, but
my parents had it on 8-track.
It almost sounds like it's from Sesame Street or something.
Where the road runs down by the Butternut Grove to Old Bill Skinner's stream. Do tell at the noonday bell, it's time for a summertime dream. In a lunch pail town, in a one-horse way, you can live like king and queen. Let's steal away in the noonday sun, it's time for a summertime dream. Birds in all creation will be twittering in the trees. And down below's the pond, I know you can swim in it if you please. And if you come around when the mill shuts down, you can see what chivalry means. Steal away in the noonday sun, it's time for a summertime dream. On a trip on down to Wonderland, in love among the flowers, where time gets lost with no straw bars, tallying up the hours. Road runs down by the Butternut Grove to Old Bill Skinner's stream. Do tell at the noonday bell, it's time for a summertime dream. Time for a summer shower. Birds in all creation will be twittering in the trees. And down below the pond, swim in if you please. So if you come around when the mill shuts down, you can see what chivalry means. Steal away in the noonday sun, it's time for a summertime dream.
Nice.
So
if you want to hear something really funny, Burton Cummings has a solo album. I think it's called like Up Close and Personal. It's just him solo with the piano, and it's a live album. And he does a song, and he prefaces the song, This is what you would hear if you walked by Gordon Lightfoot's summer home. And Gordon Lightfoot's favorite artist was Rod Stewart. And so he sings Maggie May in Gordon Lightfoot's voice. Absolutely.
That sounds funny. Yeah.
I call this If Gordon Lightfoot's Favorite Singer Were Rod Stewart. There are many ifs that preface this scenario. If you were walking through Rosedale, past Gordon's huge pretentious mansion, and if the window were open about this wide, and if Gordon had just been listening to the stereo, and if on the stereo had been a disc of his favorite artist, and if that artist were Rod Stewart, and if he had been inspired by the listening, you might hear something that sounded vaguely like this. Only if Gordon Lightfoot's favorite singer were Rod Stewart. Senior face.
You purposely search out Canadian artists to stump us because you got us on that one.
Yeah, if you haven't figured out, my whole list is Canadian.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Oh shit! I hope his number one's not the same as mine then.
What is my number one? No, it's definitely not going to be the same, I don't think. Okay, so Rich, what do you got next?
I was going to say I've lost track of who's doing it. While he usually keeps me on track, I'm looking at him. He's looking at me with a blank stare. Like, this is no good. We got a third person in the room today. All right, so now we're getting into, we'll visit maybe my public school years. When we used to have those school dances, you know, those dances when you were in grade 7, grade 6, grade 7, grade 8, and you had the dance in the public school gym, and all the girls sat on one side of the gym and all the guys sat on the other. Not one person was on the fucking dance floor.
Yeah.
You remember that? Did you have that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Happened to me a lot, you know, and you're staring at each other and, you know, the guys are playing cards in the back. We used to have that a lot. And I heard a song on there. At one of those dances, and I'd never heard it again afterwards until I went and bought the cassette tape. I found it in a bargain bin, and I don't know much about the band. I'm pretty sure they're from Montreal, Canada. Other than that, I don't know a lot about them. The band is called Boys Don't Cry.
Okay.
And anybody know it? Either of you guys know anything about that band,
but I'm probably not going to know the song. Yeah, yeah.
Well, the song is I Want to Be a Cowboy. And it's like
I'm pretty sure I know the song.
Basically, yeah. if Men Without Hats is basically a different way to say it, because they sound kind of I want to be a cowboy.
I do remember that song. Yeah.
And when I was a kid, I always wanted to be a cowboy. I wanted to have cowboy boots and a cowboy hat and stuff. When I was in like grade 6, grade 7, I was always bugging my parents to get me a cowboy hat and stuff like that. And the song comes in, I want to be a cowboy. It's like awesome. But it's like total Men Without Hats kind of kind of rip-off.
Very similar. Yeah.
Cowboy, and you can be my cowgirl. I wanna be a cowboy.
All right. Up next, I get teased relentlessly by my family members for liking this song, for sometimes consuming too much alcohol and dancing to this song.
But, do we have video of this at all?
Not that I know of.
Just checking.
But probably. I'm going Destiny's Child.
Really?
Bootylicious.
Oh, yeah! Oh, Lord. Something wrong with you, man.
Hey, that's a good pop song. Totally rips off Stevie Nicks.
You're bootylicious, man.
And I'm your cowgirl.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
My next pick was her first. It was her first single released in the U.S., and it's written by Robert White Johnson, who was at the Rock and Pod Expo, and Taylor Rhodes, who co-wrote one of my favorite songs of all time, "Cold Blood" by Kix.
And, oh, I love that song.
Oh, it's so great. Yeah. This is Celine Dion. "Where Does My Heart Beat Now?" Is that what it is? "Where Does My Heart Beat Now?" Yeah.
I have no idea, dude. You're on your own here.
I didn't even
know that.
I was sitting here trying to figure out some Canadian songs to put on my list, and so I was looking at Celine Dion, and I didn't even realize this was by her. I just thought it was like some other group from, well, it came out in 1990, so it's not from the 80s, but
yeah, I avoid her kind of like blue cheese. All right,
whose turn is it? Is it my turn?
It's your turn.
See, look at, I'm following along pretty good. I went through a massive rap phase when I was younger.
Like, good thing I didn't know you then, man.
Oh, yeah, no. Like Run DMC, Kool Moe Dee, LL Cool J, all that stuff. You know, you guys know that kind of stuff. But Kool Moe Dee was another big one. Slick Rick. Remember Slick Rick? Anybody?
I do not remember Slick Rick.
But that's not what I want to play. Okay. But still, that's kind of an embarrassing song. But I would rather play Derek B, "Get Down." And none of you have ever heard that, have you?
No.
My DJ, Derek B, is best, taking out all rookies who fail the test. You want to know who's the best in town? Come on, everybody, let's all go down. From the scene quite long, making sure the beats are funky and the song is strong. Get up, get down, everybody get loose. Easy Q on the mic and Derek B's got juice. The first time you heard us, we left you in a shock. You didn't realize that Derek B could rock. But now you know that he's the boss. We taught you a lesson, now get lost. To all piss takers, we are back, giving sucker MCs heart attack. Because we are the duo from London town, making everybody just...
And I went to the record store with my dad when I was younger, and there was a compilation vinyl there. It was
two records, two vinyls, right? Double album, I guess you'd call it. And it's called Mr. Magic's Rap Attack Volume 3. And I'm like, Dad, I have to have that. And I didn't have enough money and I couldn't buy it. And it was my birthday or Christmas or something. I don't remember what time of year it was. Shortly afterwards. And sure enough, he'd gone back after my parents, you know, my parents had separated this time. So he went back and he bought it for me for either Christmas or birthday, whatever it was. And it was basically a compilation album of a bunch of different rap artists. And one of them was Derek B. And I really took to this song. And as a big heavy metal guy, I'm listening to rap. One of the lines in the song is part of the reason I took to it. The line is, I guess he's... at that time, remember, I was 13, so
oh no,
I was sexually inept, right? Wasn't even sure I was allowed to admit that I had boners when I was 13, right? And in the song, he's like, stop, what are you giggling about over there?
Just wondering how it's different now.
Shut up! Yeah, but now, I how many times on the podcast have I said I got boners?
Okay,
it's different, I can tell the world now.
You can tell the world now, okay.
But in the song, he's got the line, two big things like basketballs. He's got the girl back to his apartment or something in the song. And so obviously that's boobs, and yay boobies, because I love boobies. I'm 13 and boobies are awesome. And the next line afterwards is, and down below it was like Niagara Falls. What the fuck does that mean? When you're 13, what does that mean? You're trying to, you know, you're looking at your dad's penthouse or Playboys and like Niagara Falls. What the hell is this guy talking about? Look like Niagara Falls. Look at me like somebody punched a lasagna. I don't know what the hell that is down there. When you're 13, you don't know what that, you know.
Two big things like basketballs. Down below was like Niagara Falls. We kept on going for hours and hours. Straight after that to the bathroom for a shower. Just before leaving, she held me close and said,
I think you're the greatest thing in bed.
So I kissed her on the cheek and said goodbye. I looked in her face, there was a tear in her eye. She ran past me and stood in front of the door and said,
please sir, can I have some more?
So I looked at my watch and said, what the heck? And started kissing her at the nape of her neck. She wiggled and giggled and pulled me to the ground and whispered in my ear,
easy cue, get down.
All right, well, I kind of went rap here, now that I look at my list.
Oh, really? Making fun of me, you were,
yeah? Yeah, but I don't really consider this guy rap. It's more, I don't know. It's more, I went with Shaggy, and Love Me, Love Me. I almost had beer come out his nose there. You didn't see that, but.
I really have nothing to say.
I like Shaggy.
The only Shaggy song I know is the one down on the bathroom floor. Is that a Shaggy song?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm playing Love Me, Love Me.
Well, this one sucks. Play the other one.
No.
Oh, no, the other one's worse.
What's that?
The other one's worse. It wasn't me.
Hey, you're probably right.
That was actually Sonny Pooney picked that on No Shame, and I told him he won the award for picking the worst song ever to be featured on No Shame. I fucking hate Shaggy.
There wasn't me one?
Yeah, it wasn't me. I fucking hate that.
Sonny Pooney.
Hating it, man.
Sonny was the first guest we had on the CGCM.
Yep.
Very first guest.
Oh, so Shaggy makes his second appearance. Ugh, okay.
Awesome.
My next pick, are you guys familiar with this electro-funk duo from Montreal called Chromeo?
Oh, no.
Not at all.
I know them because my wife is a big fan of them. They're these two guys, and they just make kind of 80s-sounding music. So I was trying to make a Canadian list, so I went and tried to find my favorite Chromeo song, and it's this song Night by Night, which came out in 2009. They're not bad, but they're just kind of quirky, you know, 80s sounding songs. We'll be right back.
My dance phase.
Oh no.
When I used to listen to dance music, because I went to the clubs. When you were in your 20s, you went, you know, that's what
yeah,
we
I did.
Yeah,
I did a phase of that too.
Yeah, we went to the dance clubs, and there were girls, and well, I like girls, so we went to the dance clubs and tried to pick up the girls.
Yeah, you covered that.
And yeah, the line dance clubs.
When you weren't line dancing.
Inevitably, the crap music they're playing in there gets stuck in your head, and all of a sudden you're buying the album because you kind of like it, but you don't want to tell anybody. So I used to buy like Black Box and KWS and all these like Dance Mix 91 and all this kind of stuff. But one that really stuck with me was a guy, I have no idea. It was a dance song, and I know the name of the group was Smarties. Like S-M-A, I can't even spell smart right now. But E was, Smarties, like apostrophe S. And the song is Sesame's Treat. And it's literally a Sesame Street theme song done to dance music. Check that shit out.
5, 6, 7, 8.
All right, well, I've already covered Beyonce, so let's go with another song that my family teases me about. Another big, big, big female singer, Christina Aguilera. She's been played, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Going with Ain't No Other Man. That is a good tune. And I don't go for like the big...
Don't look at me. I couldn't tell you one song that chick sings.
Vocal. Really?
She looked good, though.
Vitex Pick is another one where I tried to find a song by this band that I liked, and even though I really hate the way he sings, because he's got that Blink-182 affect I found a Sum 41 song that I thought was pretty good.
I knew it was that. Yeah.
Song called Over My Head, which I guess from their second album.
I don't even know this one.
I like the chorus. I don't like the verse because I hate the way he sings. You know what I mean? He sounds just like the Blink-182 guy.
But, really does, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't really like the verse, but I do like the chorus of the song, so...
Oh, so next I went through my girl pop phase, where there's like Debbie Gibson and Madonna and stuff like that. Madonna was cool, because my girlfriend at the time made me go to a Madonna concert, and I was really against it, and I was bitter and pissed off, but I knew I was going to get laid if I went, so I had to go. And then there was like topless girls on stage, so all of a sudden I was happy to be there, and she was pissed off because I was there. So there was a whole phase where I liked those kind of artists, but... And as much as I'm a Madonna fan, recently I was on a painting contract because as a side project to my actual job, I'm a professional painter, and so sometimes I take a painting contract. And I happen to be overnight painting the restaurant that I work at, and I decided I would play the 80s pop channel on the Sirius satellite, and on comes Belinda Carlisle's Circle in the Sand. And here's me rolling paint on the walls, dancing around like a moron, singing Circle in the Sand. So I'm going with Circle in the Sand.
Hey.
Belinda Carlisle. It's a catchy song,
I
man.
Like Belinda
sing
Carlisle.
It in your head. Sing it in your head.
I like the Go-Go's. I like Belinda sand. Carlisle.
I love the band. Go-Go's.
Now, imagine me with the roller on the wall, Circle in the Sand. You know, as the roller's going up and down, imagine it.
Okay, so my sixth song on the list, but my top four, getting into my top four, I'm going with "Don't Talk to Strangers,"
Rick
which
Springfield?
Has got the look. Yes,
yeah. I was gonna say that sounds so familiar, but I couldn't quite place it. Now
not,
I got it.
Not the Ronnie James Dio, the Rick Springfield version. I
saw Rick Springfield in concert.
I will. Yeah, I'll yeah, argue so it, Rick Springfield up and down any day. He was great.
My next pick, I almost just said it first because Wally's first pick was this same band, but I had my Rick Moranis first on my list, so I wanted to start off with Rick Moranis. But yeah, Bare Naked Ladies. In 1998, I worked at a record store, and so when the album Stunt came out, I had to hear it a lot. And I never really liked that guy's voice, the Steven guy's voice.
Yeah,
I liked
yeah.
the other guy's voice more. Steven's voice always kind of annoyed me, but
So the split kind of worked out well for you.
Oh yeah, did they split? Yeah, but I guess Steven sings this one, though. It's All Been Done, which I think was the second single after One
that's
Week.
That's a good tune. Yeah,
I like that song.
Sing it.
I can admit that I like it.
Sing it.
At that record store, we would, like, there would be, like, maybe five of us working, and everybody could pick a CD to play, and then we'd put it, they would just shuffle, you know? But if our manager was there, he would always insist that we played something new, like it was supposed to be new. And so you'd end up hearing a lot of the newer albums that weren't horrible. Like, if you could find anything that was, because you're there all day, you know? So yeah. A lot of times, stuff like this would get put on over and over just because it was, at least it was better than the other shit that was new, you know?
Yeah.
So I heard this album a lot back then. I guess I don't really ever want to hear it again, but I could admit that It's All Been Done is a good song.
Number three, Bruce Willis.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Oh,
no.
Bruce Willis had an album.
Yes,
yeah.
He did.
Yes. Respect Yourself is an awesome song.
Oh, my God.
Do you know that song?
Holy shit, yeah.
I bought the 45 single. I still have it, and it's a picture of him, and I think the B-side was Under the Boardwalk.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's some bad shit. The Return of Bruno.
He's insulting the guest.
All right.
Bruce Willis, Respect Yourself. That's a great song.
Holy shit, that's bad.
It's you have to respect yourself. It's motivational.
You're getting close. You're getting close to beating out Sonny Pooney, but he still holds the worst song ever award, I think.
My next pick is David Hasselhoff. No, I'm joking.
All right, so number three, I'll be very surprised if you know this song or this artist or song. The Maestro probably doesn't either. The artist is from Quebec. Artist is Mitsu.
Yeah, we've talked about this before because you got problems.
You got issues. The song is Les Chinois, which translates to the Chinese.
So it's a francophone song.
It is.
Yeah. Okay, can you explain a little more about Mitsu, please, so that everyone understands the problem you have?
I have no problem. This was a great pop song in French. I do not speak French, so the lyrics mean absolutely nothing. But if you go see the video,
there you go. And now we're getting to your problem.
I have no problem. Mitsu was a very attractive young woman when this album came out, and I enjoyed this video many, many times.
You masturbated and watched it, didn't you?
I did not.
You masturbated.
I have no crusty socks in the bed in my bedroom as a teenager. It never happened.
Use socks? Why don't you just use a bath towel?
Mitsu.
Mom does a laundry.
Why don't you just use a lasagna?
It's American Pie all over again.
Great track.
Toi, tu t'emballes, ça. Cha-cha-cha.
Yeah, BJ.
All right. Well, my next one, this is another Canadian artist that I was trying to find a song I liked by Sarah McLachlan. I don't really like her like extremely mellow style of music really very much.
It makes you want to commit suicide, doesn't it?
Or save a bunch of puppies.
Yeah. And you've heard the songs too much like at the grocery store at this point.
Yeah.
But the song Possession by her, I guess I could stand listening to it. I
don't know. Instantly,
I'd have to hear it to know the one you're talking about. See, now this time I know it's my turn. After I get my Bruce Willis pick.
Oh, yeah.
Just abused. It's probably not going to get much better. Two picks left. And maybe people are going to look at me strange with this, that like they don't already. I like this entire album, and neither of you know what it is.
Okay.
It is a children's album.
Oh, no. Another one?
It's literally a children's album that I listened to when I was a kid. I used to put this album on, and I would dance around in the living room, just like I did to the other album I was talking about earlier. But this
You've
time,
done a
I'd
lot
be,
of dancing. Tonight.
Oh, I'd be wearing my Spider-Man underoos and stuff like that, just dancing and jumping around, especially to one song.
There's a visual.
But yeah, there is a visual. Well, I've gained a little weight now, so it's a different visual now than if you picture me when I was younger. And if you picture me when I was younger, it's kind of child porn. So that right. So. My mother was born in Canada, but she grew up in England. Her mother, my grandmother, is English, so I used to get a lot of English influence. And one of the things that I used to get was The Wombles. It is a children's television show that also spawned books, magazines, comics, and albums. And when I was thinking about this episode and how I would come together with some of my most embarrassing songs, I really did give it some thought. And for some reason or other, I revisited The Wombles. And I have the vinyl record still. And I took it out and I played it. And I'm telling you, it took me right back. Right back. So if I could choose this entire album, I would. But I can't, so I will choose one character from this children's TV show, which is Orinoco, who was my favorite Womble. And there's a song on the album called The Orinoco Kid.
Tied it up the floor, so they called me the Orinoco Kid. My tidy bag was full and I was really wobbling free. I was riding down to Denver on the Colorado sand. I knew I was the wildest bully wobble in the land. I was bold, I was brave, I was fearless. I was famous for the things that I did. I was quick on the drawers, I tidied up the floor. So they called me the Orinoco Kid. Yes, they called me the Orinoco Kid.
All right. Well, my number two song, and I honestly, to this day, when I went back and listened to it again, when this song came out, I was loving this tune, and I don't know why. You know my feelings on rap. And
hey, I played a rap song earlier.
Does
yours talk about Niagara Falls and big things like basketball?
Although I admit to being a country fan, this was...
You shouldn't do that either.
This was quite the hybrid song that came out, I don't know, 2008 maybe. No, maybe, I don't know. Over and Over Again by Nelly and Tim McGraw.
We can no longer do a podcast.
Holy shit.
It's all over.
I don't know. I don't think I might know it if I hear it, but it's got to be horrible.
Wait, is it worse than Bruce Willis?
It might be.
Nelly. Like, what else did Nelly? I don't even... Nelly's got to be horrible.
Still the winner, though.
Over and Over Again. So you can tell me later if I get crowned king on this tune.
I bet I know it when I hear it. Oh, it's got to be horrible. It's got to be awful.
Something about it I liked. I don't like Nelly. I do like Tim McGraw, but something about it, I listened to that song a lot when it came out. So it's definitely one of those embarrassing ones.
Yeah. That is embarrassing.
Try to stop you or say anything, but I see clearly now, and this choice I made keeps playing in my head over and over again, playing my head over and over again.
My next song, did you guys have the show Rockstar Supernova in Canada? Did you watch that?
I did not watch it, but we did have it, and I know the results of it. Yes.
I watched it religiously, and I have that album.
Yeah, okay. So this still maintains the Canadian artist thing, because the winner, of course, was Lucas Rossi, right, was Canadian. Yep. So I went through that album, and then I remembered this song, Be Yourself, which is the Let Me Hear You, Hey, 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 Let Me Hear You, Ho, 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 that song. It's a pretty good song, actually.
I love it.
You like that whole album? Because, I mean...
I love that whole album.
Yeah, it's so weird, that record, because of the people involved. It's like...
Yeah. I was looking forward to hopefully catching a live show, but it never got that far, and then Newstead was out, and...
Yeah, I don't think the show had very good ratings. Because it started out, the first season was INXS were looking for a singer.
Yep.
Right? And then they did... I think Velvet Revolver. I think actually they created the show because they were going to do it with Velvet Revolver, but then
really?
They pulled out. I think that's a story I've heard. Like before they got Weiland, they were going to do a TV show. I think that's where the idea for the show sprouted from. I guess they couldn't find another band after INXS, so they just had to put together like a super group. Yeah,
season of two, wasn't it?
Yeah, they only had the two seasons.
Yeah, I think that was it after that, yeah.
And then they were calling their band Supernova, and then they got sued because there was another band already called Supernova. Then they just had to call the band Rockstar Supernova.
Yeah.
Like the show.
Yeah, that's what I know it as, is Rockstar Supernova.
Yeah.
Yeah.
okay, all my heavy metal friends might laugh at me because I like the rap song, because I like the Wobbles Children song. Nothing's worse than liking Nickelback. I really only like the one song. However, if you were hearing Nickelback for the first time, that first song, it's actually not that bad. Then you realize it's that cookie cutter thing where every album's exactly the fucking same. But at the start, it's not that bad. And that song Animal just sticks in my head. That's it. That's for Kristen Beck. There we go.
See, can I play that off that way? I can just blame it. I wanted to play something for him.
Since I came aboard with Decibel Geek, I've bugged Chris about Nickelback forever.
I love him.
Whoa! That's a heavy statement, dude.
I love their first four records. I will go on record. I really do.
I hate what they stand for. And
beyond that, they
some of the tracks are catchy. But it's just cookie cutter. It's
Side of a Bullet. Still love that tune. Love that tune.
No, for me, it's Animal. Animal is it. I can't believe you said you love Nickelback.
I admit it.
Stay tuned, folks, to the CGCM podcast when Wally and I fight about his love of Nickelback. Coming about 6 months from now.
All right, Wally, can you top Nickelback, the band you love?
This is a artist that is known by millions, but not a lot of people know her early stuff. I went with the song Too Hot by Alanis, later known as Alanis Morissette.
I thought Alanis Morissette started with that one where she was angry at her boyfriend.
Nope.
Didn't know there was anything before that.
I think she had two albums before Jagged Little Pill that were dancey, poppy, bubblegum stuff.
If you want the answers, you need a blast and straight up, baby. Say what you mean and you mean to say it. They say about ya. You never throw a hero party for those who oppose who you chose to be now, maybe. You could feel the power. It's like a bomb inside your head. It blows if you slow when you go to use it.
You gotta show them that you're mean it.
Okay, party people in the house.
Action, action.
Move that, move that.
my last pick is from her second album, Now Is the Time, from 1992. It's Alanis. And Can't Deny. She's like Tiffany, or she's a lot like Tiffany or something. Yeah,
I think I'm a clone now.
Well, that's weird. Sorry, I think I'm alone now. This verse.
Nice.
Yeah, it's so funny the way she completely reinvented herself.
Yeah.
Were her first two albums popular in Canada? Or
yeah, they were on. Oh, sorry, not MTV. Much.
He says they are. Yet I never heard of them before.
Yeah, but I got 4 years on you, man. So
you're an old man.
She was completely unknown in the U.S. until Jagged Little Pill.
Yeah, definitely.
Same to me in Canada.
No, she had two or three big hit singles.
Really?
That were regular rotation for sure.
Well, you know the thing she did in America is she was on Star Search.
Right. Yes, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, yeah, I mean, Jagged Little Pill is one of my most hated albums ever. Like, I just hate it so much. And when she came out with that, she just, all her interviews, she was like so cluelessly pretentious. It's so fucking annoying when she would talk. So I've never been a fan of hers, but I thought it would be funny to go and
album.
What?
I have the album. I like the album, but man, it was just overload to death. I got so sick of it. I haven't played it in years.
See, for me and my friends, we used to work at a movie theater, so we always liked the launch. She'll go down on you in a theater.
Right? So for us, it was kind of exciting.
Yeah,
right?
Of course.
Like, where is she? Who is she? Where is she? Is that her?
Well, you know, I thought it would be so funny to go through those first two Alanis albums and pick a song from it, and then Wally completely stole my thunder.
He's the guest, and he just ripped you off.
You can edit him out. I'm okay with that. Yeah.
Number one.
That's funny though, because most people probably have never heard at all what she sounded like on those first albums, so now they'll get a taste.
Absolutely.
Of what it was like. Yeah,
double shot.
No, there was before that.
Oh yeah, I played actually. Megan, my daughter, I was playing that song while I was getting my list ready. She likes it, so I'll be hearing that again, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's hilarious. All right, so what do you guys think? How embarrassed are you?
I'm good to go. That doesn't bother me.
Yeah, right. No, that's always. I mean, that's why it's called No Shame. It's because really, yeah, I'm not embarrassed about any song I like. It doesn't really, whatever. But I like you guys have said, that definitely how it was like as a teenager. You definitely had to kind of maintain a certain status quo as in terms of what you liked in public, right? So. It's funny that everybody seems to have liked a lot of different stuff all along, but you never really admitted to it, you know?
Yeah.
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 Yeah, it's not something you talk about that much.
Holy shit, that Bruce Willis song is horrible, though.
Shut up. I got the 45 single. I can mail it to you if you want. You want to hear it.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
The whole album is good, man.
Oh, come on. Library.
When I was a kid, I borrowed it from the library and dubbed it on cassette.
Are there any originals, or is it just all cover songs?
Respect Yourself is original, isn't it?
Is it?
I think so.
I don't know.
I have a clue.
Now you're going to make me search, but pretty sure it's original. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, on the back of the single, it's got the lyrics and the credits and everything. I'll go home and look it up.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, guys, for having the guts to come on here. And
I really appreciate you having us on. Actually a lot of fun for us too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was great to like meet you guys if this is called meeting.
Exactly.
Well, it's further than we've gone before, so it's like Star Trek, the Undiscovered Country now, right?
Yeah, this is one step, and then hopefully the next step will be at the next Rock and Pod Expo.
Possibly? Yeah, for sure. I really hope that does go on again next year, and from all points that I understand it will. And as soon as we get the dates narrowed down, we can book some times off work and start planning it, because we both do want to be there.
I'll be back.